Jope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Jope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Jope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Okay, all right. Let's have a radio show on a Wednesday. A hump day, if you will. I am, I'm the Bulldog, Mike, unfortunately. He says as he clears his throat, still getting over a mess he had himself 2 weeks ago. Unfortunately, Mike is out sick today. I'm hoping my voice will hold up. You never know. You got to push a little more with him not here. That's where you come in. Lots of time for your calls here, especially in this first hour of the show at 803-0550. Once we get up and running into the 4 o'clock hour, I don't know. We'll see. If something pops into my memory bank, I don't know that I've ever talked to a dude to preview a Bills game while that dude is in a ballpark watching a Major League Baseball playoff game. But we're going to just try that at 4 o'clock. Will Kunkel from Fox TV in Houston is going to be our guest. He is watching the Astros and the Tigers in Game 2 of the American League Wild Card Series. So we'll do that. Chris Trapasso, our buddy from CBS Sports, we'll hit him up at 5. Sal will be saved until near the end. He'll be on with us at 6 o'clock. You know, sometimes in this racket that I've chosen here as my field, as my profession, things just sort of come together. And I would say that for Bills fans, you know, not really the team or the players themselves, but I think certainly for the fans, I think the optics and the emotions of the team going to play Stephon Diggs this week was going to be interesting enough and juicy enough for us to sort of sink our teeth into. You know, I'm not here and really all that interested in like relitigating what went down and how it went down. Jeremy Fowler from ESPN did a long form piece that dropped today about that. Just a lot of background and some opinions and quotes from people involved, anonymous sources, et cetera, et cetera. There was nothing in there that hasn't been talked about by us probably 100 or 1,000 times over. But I think for the fan base, we would have been engaged in this and sharing thoughts and opinions about the Diggs experience with the Bills, how it went, what he meant to the team, how it ended, and how we think the team itself will be reacting to going to play against his new team on Sunday at 1 o'clock in the Houston Texans. The part of this that sort of hit me today getting ready to do this and knowing Mike was going to be out was that, of course, yesterday the news dropped that not only is Davante Adams, it was building to this, not only is Davante Adams unhappy and would like to move from the Raiders, but that the Raiders are interested in facilitating that and going to be exploring avenues to divest themselves of the very talented wide receiver, Davante Adams. And here we are, right? We're in Buffalo, and all of the drama and hue and cry about a number one receiver and replacing Diggs once he was moved and all of it, the timing is just incredible to me that story is like the story in the NFL right now this week is Davante Adams and the Raiders and where's he going to end up? What's it going to cost? What are you going to do to his contract, if anything? And all of that. And like who should be lining up to try to procure his services? And here we are in Buffalo. The Bills just got out of the number one alpha dog kingpin dude receiver business when they traded Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans in April. They got out of it to the tune of $31 million in dead money on their cap, but they got out of it. And, of course, we know what the story has been. here with the Bills through the summer into the early part of the season. Everybody eats. I love that Mike has coined everybody snacks, because the Bills have not exactly been filling the stat sheet with passing offense. They largely have not really needed to. Even the game against Baltimore, in which they got blown out, a game in which you would want to, you know, try to start piling up passing yardage and often do. A game was so crooked so soon that it just didn't even really, I mean, Allen didn't play a lot of the fourth quarter. So, like, piling up stats and getting a look at your passing game, really, we've barely scratched the surface, I feel like. You know, the Jacksonville game, they came out throwing and hit a bunch of different guys and ran out to an early lead. So, again, it wasn't a day where you piled up big, gaudy numbers. Even Josh Allen didn't really pile up big, gaudy passing numbers. So, we're over here with everybody eats, and that's what the Bills are talking about. And the fan base, of course, not surprisingly, is, I think, somewhat split on being optimistic about that working. And here comes the story of the week. Maybe it'll be the story of the month. We've got a little more than a month until the NFL trade deadline. It has been pushed back to November 5th. It's a week later than it has traditionally been. I think some teams in the league brought that to the competition committee during the offseason and thought it was just too early, so they pushed it back a week. So we've got about a month, probably, assuming that any Adams trade runs its course through to the deadline. It doesn't have to. Of course, the Raiders could trade this player at any moment here if somebody meets their asking price. I just feel like I would anticipate anybody meeting that asking price needing to be sort of dragged into it with more urgency than maybe they're feeling right now. You know, the Jets are thought to be the obvious landing spot. Adams' old quarterback, of course, Aaron Rodgers, on the Jets, and they're all in to try to win right away because Rodgers is not going to be their quarterback for very long. We'll see if he even plays another year after this one. Maybe the results of this year will have something to do with that. But I think even the Jets would balk at an asking price of a second-round pick right now. Maybe not, because their urgency might be different than the Bills' urgency. So what I want to know is, after just getting out of this boat, right, the number one wideout and all that entails, and that is not to say I wouldn't do the Diggs trade again at the moment in time where the Bills were in the spring of 20 when they did it, because to me, it absolutely was a success. I mean, the only thing that this team did not do is win a Super Bowl while Stephon Diggs was here. Their offense elevated to an elite level. Their quarterback elevated to a most valuable player status within the league. The Bills are thought of as a contender because of Josh Allen more than anything else, and Diggs helped make Josh Allen into Josh Allen. That's not to say it would not have happened without him, but he was here, and it definitely helped. So, like, that was great at that moment in time. What I'm wondering now is where the Bills are at right now. Should they be willing to sacrifice a future asset, let's say a second-round pick, for a player that I would say I'm only interested in any Davante Adams dealings if it's for 1 year? I would not want to trade for him and redo his contract and add years and upfront money so that they can fit it under the cap for 1 year and then live with the repercussions of that down the road. That's not where I'm at on the timeline with the Bills. Yes, there should be urgency for them to capitalize on Josh Allen's prime, but I feel like they made their decision in the spring, and it's not to say that the target can't change and players becoming available doesn't change the equation for a team, but man, it just feels to me like bailing on that already would be tough. I think it would be tough, not just for the fans who have hook, line, and sinker bought into Everybody Eats. And to some extent, I'll get to this. Like, I don't know that I fully have swallowed the hook, line, and sinker and the bait on Everybody Eats, but I'm really curious to see it, and I think we barely are scratching the surface. So I'm not eager to tip that over because a insanely talented, one of the best receivers of his generation could be available, or is available in a trade. I'm more inclined to want to see a few more weeks of this and then make a call. I'd be open to the Bills needing another receiver, but I don't want to get to the front. I'm not elbowing people out of the way to get to the front of the line at this point. You know, if this thing unfolds and goes on, like I'm guessing it will for, you know, maybe as long as a month here, you know, maybe the Bills get in on it because, you know, the performance of their offense and their receiving core warrants them paying some attention to it and doing something to alter it. Because, you know, you can admit, hey, you know, we miscalculated. This isn't working the way we thought it would. But myself right now, I do not yet have enough data to tell you whether this is going to work. You know, Keon Coleman and Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir and Mac Hollins and who am I forgetting? Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Like, there's your receiving core. You can have Kincaid and Knox if you want them, James Cook and the other running backs, whatever. I think, you know, a week ago felt like, oh, the Bills look like the best team in the league, said the smart guy on the radio with the big gray beard. Hi, that's me. You know, you get trashed by the Ravens, and, you know, it certainly takes some steam out of, well, they look like the best team in the league, because, you know, a team that looks like the best team in the league probably doesn't lose by 25, really ever. So, you know, that took the starch out of that for now, but one game where everything kind of got sideways on them does not deem to me their approach to their passing offense specifically as a failure. I think they have a lot of incentive to see if this can work with Allen as the trigger man. I've called it since it started, you know, once it became apparent that they weren't trading for Brandon Ayuk or, I don't know, who else did we talk about during the DK Metcalf, whomever, right? Once it became apparent that they weren't doing that, and I guess, you know, maybe that took until the very end of the summer when Ayuk finally re-signed with the San Francisco 49ers. But, you know, it felt like that wasn't in the cards as the summer unfolded. And the more I started sitting with the great experiment, the first great experiment of Josh Allen's career, can he be prolific and lead this team to having a top offense in the league and a contending type team without a highly paid target hog, which is what Stephon Diggs was. And I don't say target hog pejoratively. Like, you got a guy that's a stud, you feed him. That makes sense. It would be stupid, I think, to do otherwise. So they got out of that business and we're four games in. And I know Sunday might have shook some of us the way it went, but I'm not ready to turn my back on Everybody Eats yet. I'm not convinced it's going to work either. That's what an experiment is. Like, let's see. That's why I liked phrasing it that way, because I don't know how much the Bills really know. I mean, they know more than us, you know, schematically what some guys are capable of, what they're going to ask them to do, and that kind of thing. But, you know, that's all just planning. You don't know till you get out there and start playing. So I can't think that they know for sure that this is either going to work or not work, and that after only four games, they would be sitting in their offices going, oh, man, we gotta go get Amari Cooper. We got to go get Devontae. We got to do something. This is going to work. I mean, we've watched these games. There's no way, I think, reasonably level-headed person would arrive at the conclusion that this isn't going to work, scrap it. And, you know, I know how Sunday went, and I know how yeah, I try to avoid, especially when I'm working post-game, the social media while the game is unfolding. But I saw plenty of nobody can get open. Go trade for Devontae Adams. Like, that's right there during Sunday's game. To me, that's a rush. I'm not there yet. I'm wondering where you folks are at. Like, what's your appetite like for, say, a second-round pick for a year of Devontae Adams? To me, that's about as real as I can make it. I don't think there's any chance the Bills would get into the idea of acquiring a player like Adams at his age and be adding years onto the contract. I can't see. I would not. I'd be 100% against that. I don't care how great he's been in his career. He's 32. And the idea of signing your name on something that's going to account for $30 million or more against your cap for a soon-to-be, by next year, a 33-year-old wide receiver, no thanks. I want no part of that. But if it were a rental and the price still were a second-round pick, is that worth it? I think that's a tough one. You know, of course, it's easy to say, well, if you get him and you win the Super Bowl, who cares? Right, sure. Agreed. I mean, I'd give up next year's whole draft class if I knew they're going to win a Super Bowl. Obviously, you can't know that, and adding this player is not going to guarantee that in any way. So it's a significant asset, an asset that becomes more and more important to you as an organization, and I think fans should think about this, as you move forward here in life with a $50 million-ish a year quarterback. I mean, he's not there yet, but when they redo his deal, which surely they will do at some point here, because he's dropped way down the charts, Allen has, as far as his yearly AAV on his contract. Those draft picks, those premium picks, you know, the most talented players in the draft, on rookie contracts matter so much more now than they did when Allen was on his original contract. This is a very different landscape. I mean, we just watched this offseason where the Bills had to purge themselves of all of these veterans, and not all of them were entirely financially motivated, but I'll bet a lot of it was. And so it's more important now. You're drafting Cole Bishop to take the place of Poyer or Hyde eventually. You know, maybe that happens as soon as this week. I don't know. We'll see. But that's the idea, right? You're going to need production, cheap production from those guys, and giving away a second-round pick for a rental player, that gets right in the way of that. I mean, it's one of the oldest arguments in sports, you know? Like, what is that worth to me? How much pain is that going to cause? How much am I going to regret it if I don't have that asset? You know, again, you win, and who cares? Agreed, but there's no way you're going to know that when you do it. So that gives me a lot of pause on this. I feel like, especially with where the Bills are on their timeline now, like they just sort of, to an extent, just erased a bunch of names on the dry erase board and put new names in there. And if this were a year or 2 years ago and all those veterans were still here and it was their last stand, go get me DeAndre Hopkins. Go get me Odell Beckham Jr. Go trade next year's second-round pick for Devontae Adams. I need another guy, and this is it. This is the last stand for this crew. Well, as it turned out, that was last fall and winter. That was the last stand for Hyde and Poyer and Diggs and Mitch Morse and Tre'Davious White. So they never did that then. I don't think it fits even less now to me. That's not to say they shouldn't have urgency to win, but in all in sacrificing future premium assets type of move, I don't view the Bills as in that business right now. I could be wrong. We know Brandon Bean likes to wheel and deal, but I don't think it lines up. It lines up more for a team like the Jets, who are, you know, how long is Aaron Rodgers going to play? We think we're contenders until he's done playing, whether that's because of age or injury or a combination of both. So what do we care about next year's second-round pick? We got to win while Aaron Rodgers is upright. So that's a different equation. You know, the quarterback is 40 years old there. Allen is just really smack dab in the middle of his prime. So it's different, I think, because of that. Those are some of my initial thoughts. Would love to hear as many of yours as you'd like. I'll be talking about this in and out of all the guests, but we've got a full 45 minutes or so here right now before our first guest comes on the show. 803-0550 again is the number if you want to get in, and there are some lines open right now if you want to line up so we can start picking them up and putting them down. With that in mind, let's go to Nate to lead us off here in the 3 o'clock hour. Hi, Nate. Thank you for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Appreciate it, Bulldog. Good afternoon. I am not in the Adams market if I'm the Bills. You know, if you want to spend premium assets on a receiver, just package some picks and move up. I mean, that I think you probably said it earlier too. It's like the cheap contract for rookie wide receivers who come in right away and are good. Harrison, Thomas, Dunze, like these guys, or not a Dunze, Neighbors, like these guys are already alphas on their team, and they've played four games. You know, so it's not like you have that same waiting period now that you do, or that you did, you know, even 10 years ago with receivers that they always said, like, year three was when they popped. It doesn't happen like that anymore. So when it comes to that, you know, if you really want to spend assets on a receiver, I would go that route. But personally, I'd like to see the Bills give full evaluation this year to what's in the room. And I think getting Adams would cloud that a bit. I feel like it would just kick the can down the road a little bit of, you know, making excuses for your receiver room again. And I really want to see who has it in them to step into a larger role when the opportunity's there. And if it's nobody, then you know. But I feel like you'll do a disservice to next year's team and the year after if you go in with kind of a clouded view of who you've got. So this year, what I'd love to see is more of an approach like the Rams are doing now, where game to game, instead of maybe everybody snacks, as you put it, everybody, you know, game to game, maybe you feature someone and say, you're going to be our alpha this week. We're going to game plan you up, Shakir. We're going to game plan you up, Samuel, or whoever. And you'll know pretty quick who you've got that can do that and who can't. And if mm-hmm. that's the case, start making a plan to get a rookie next year.
Thank you, Nate. I appreciate it. I am very much in line with almost everything you said. The great experiment, the first great experiment of Josh Allen's career here, roster-wise. I mean, Allen's career, you know, everybody's career can be thought of as a great experiment. But with Allen, here, the reason I like that phrasing is he's arrived. He's who he is. But he's had digs, you know, in the holster the whole time. And, I mean, since he ascended to the level he's at. And the great experiment is, do I need to spend $30-plus million a year on one of these dudes whose value is apparent? I mean, the Bills lived with and through Diggs, and to me, it was great. Again, the only thing they didn't get done was a Super Bowl, even making it to a Super Bowl, if you really want to quibble. But to me, competitively, what he meant emotionally to that team, the production, the ascendance of Allen while Diggs was here as his running mate, all are, I mean, irrefutably great things that happened to your franchise. Now, the great experiment is, do I need to be in that business? Do I need to do that? Or can Allen and his excellent, with all his traits here, while he's still smack dab in his prime, because I think this will change in another 3, 4, 5 years when Allen isn't hurtling over safeties and linebackers anymore, and he slows down a little bit, maybe even a lot at some point here, then maybe this changes course. But let's see if Allen can make a passing game and an offense sing with Shakir as maybe his most reliable number one target in the slot, and with Dalton Kincaid, and with rookie Keon Coleman catching back shoulder throws. Let's see, because that's important information to have. Not that every year and every roster would be the same, but if this blows up on them, then I'm with the caller. Then you're packaging picks to go get next year's Odunze or Neighbors, or you're going shopping in free agency, or you're trading for a player like Ayuk or someone else who's, you know, right now disenchanted with their current situation, and you're paying the going rate for that guy. But I think it is in the Bills' long-range interest to find out right now. And they only just started. We've seen four games of it. It's been an off season full of, are they going to get a new guy? Are they replacing him? I mean, I always thought they would, but here we are. They're not. All right, we're this far in. Let's see. Let's see what the season tells us. And I know what the gamble is with the experiment is it doesn't work, and they flame out again, and you've burned a year of Allen's life as your quarterback. Yeah, that's the downside. The upside is I find out I don't have to pay $35 million a year for a wide receiver. That gives me a lot more leeway on the rest of my roster construct. And I think, like, riding in a sidecar alongside this season is that experiment. Let's find out. And I doubt that the Bills right now, again, this could change in another month, but I very highly doubt that right now they're like, oh, we got to go get a guy. Because they never acted like they needed to go get a guy all spring and summer. And so now, off to a 3-1 start, one of the highest scoring teams in the league, what would have changed their minds about that? simply the availability of Davante Adams, I just don't see it. So I want to see more before I rule definitively, but I'm here for the great experiment of Josh Allen's career. Let's see if they can make it work without the $30 million receiver. 803-0550 is the number. What do you think about that? Lines are open. Again, we'll get into the Texans this week's opponent in the 4 o'clock hour with Will Kunkel, Chris Trapasso later on, as well as our Sal Capaccio. So full show, lots of time for your calls. So get on in here. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.